Our Sunday school program today will celebrate all of our students and teachers at this branch of Zion. It is our hope that God will continue to fill us with the knowledge of truth, a spirit of understanding, and to give us the wisdom of the Holy Bible to apply it in our everyday life. Again, welcome. Would you please stand at this time for the invocation? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for choosing to give us life on this day, Lord, for giving us another opportunity to come out to this place of worship today. For we know our circumstances could have been different today, as it has been for so many who are experiencing the heavy rains. And for that, we are grateful. We thank you for the Sunday school ministry. We thank you for the students and the teachers. We thank you for allowing us to come together as believers in Christ. We pray that we might receive clarity and understanding as we continue to study your word. We pray that we will also be good representatives of you and be able to apply your word to our everyday life as we continue to grow in the knowledge of you. We pray that you will continue to lead this ministry and that all that is done will edify you and only you. We pray that as we go forward in this program today, that everything said and done will be pleasing unto you. We thank you, we love you, and we lift this prayer unto you. Amen. At this time, we will have a musical offering, Make Me a Blessing, found in our hymnal on page 437.
Now before, good morning to everyone. You look beautiful this morning, and we thank you for your presence, and God is certainly in this house, and we're gonna glorify him this morning. When we selected this hymn, Make Me a Blessing, it was part of our theme with being a living sacrifice. And so we chose this hymn, and the deacon studied it in our retreat about a year ago. And because I had become familiar with it, we thought this would be a good song. But Kevin indicated this morning, everybody will know this song, Denise. So I'm gonna try to sing part of it, and we're gonna sing it as a congregation. But the words are so fitting for our theme this morning. Out in the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. Carry the sunshine where darkness is rife. Make the sorrowing glad. Tell the sweet story of Christ and his love. Tell of his power to forgive. Others will trust him if only you prove true every moment you live. Give us 'twas given to you in your need. Love as the master loved you. Be to the helpless a helper indeed. Unto your mission be true. Make me a blessing. So I'm going to attempt to sing a little bit so that you'll get it, and then we'll sing it strong. Okay.
Out in the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. Carry the sunshine where darkness is rife, making the sorrowing glad. Jesus shine.
wonderful.
Amen. And thank you to Denise for helping us all through. Make me a blessing. At this time, we will have two scriptures. The Old Testament will be by Sister Delphine Grisby, and the New Testament will be by Brother Eshawn Davis. Following that, we'll have prayer by Minister Nathaniel Hayes.
Let us pray. Eternal and all-wise God, we come now in the precious name of Jesus, just thanking you for this annual Sunday School Day. Lord God, we know that you have been our help in ages past, and you are our hope for years to come. Lord God, we come thanking you for this institution of Sunday School, which a lot of us grew up in. And we attribute this to the fact that we are still here. Lord God, we also thank you for your word, for it says that we should train up a child in the way that they should go, and that when they are older, they will not depart from it. We also know, dear Lord, that we need to be refreshed from time to time about your word, and that Sunday School is a good place for us to do that. So Lord God, we just thank you for all that you're doing through our Sunday School. We thank you for Sunday Schools all over the world. We pray, dear Lord, that we will stand fast and let our light shine so that others can find their way to you. Lord God, let us be prepared to answer questions and lead and guide people to you. Lord God, we just love you, and we magnify your name this morning. Lord, we just want to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise, and we ask these and all other blessings in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
At this time, we'll have a musical selection by our praise team, followed by offering and giving. At this time, we'll have a musical selection by our praise team, followed by the introduction of our speaker, Dr. Cheryl Price.
Good morning, Shiloh.
Good morning.
We thought we'd try something a little new here this morning, so bear with us. But in line with our Sunday school, just thinking about what would be appropriate for our Sunday school teaching, one of the things that we learn in Sunday school, hopefully we are learning through Sunday school, is how to follow Jesus. Is that right? I hope we're learning how to follow Jesus. And so this little string of medley of songs hopefully kind of addresses that. We're going to try that this morning. Pray for us.
Follow where you lead, your hand I trust completely. You can lead me where you lead, I'll go. Oh, I'll go, I'll follow where you lead, your hand I trust completely. You can lead me where you lead.
The cross won't lead me astray.
I have decided.
Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. You all were beautiful, small in number, but the power of the Holy Spirit was in here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, choir. I have the distinct pleasure to introduce our keynote speaker, Dr. Reverend Cheryl L. Price. You know, church, when we were looking and searching for a keynote speaker for our annual Sunday school day, we prayed about it, and the Lord led us to investigate a person who would speak to us from the publication company that we share our Sunday school material with the students, from the Urban Ministries Incorporated, UMI. So the books that you read each Sunday, this lady has a lot to do with that. She was vice president of editorial for the books that we get and we use every week. She's also vice president of the teacher training and education for Urban Ministries. Dr. Price served as the minister of Christian education. And this is what really caught me. She is a native of Washington, D.C., and she served there at the Metropolitan Baptist Church in D.C. She has been from one end of the country to the other. She's lived in Washington, the state of Washington, not just Washington, D.C. And she's lived on the West Coast. Well, that's on the West Coast, but she also went to school in California. And she's been up and down, north and south of the United States, serving God. And one thing I learned very quickly about Dr. Cheryl Price is that she has a very humble spirit, very yielding and very considerate. I have to share with you, when we talked to her initially, we talked about her flying here, and we wanted her to fly through the Richmond airport because it was closer, and we thought that we'd need to not worry about the traffic in 95 and taking so long to get here. And she mentioned very gently, well, it only takes about an hour and a half to get from Chicago, where she lives now, to Fredericksburg. And I didn't quite hear that. All I was thinking is that we needed to pick her up from an airport that was close by, that she wouldn't have to go through the traffic. Well, in her humble spirit, Dr. Cheryl Price spent 5 or 6 hours flying here, going through Atlanta to get here. And so I share that because she could have said, no, Denise, we need to go through National Airport and get me here earlier. And I didn't learn until this morning how all those pieces tied together. But it shows me the type of heart that she has to serve God and her willing and yielding to other people. She also has 2 children by birth, but she is and has raised 10 children because her children, extensions of her children's friends, became her children. So she takes people in to teach them the Word of God and to show them, most of all, the Word of God. So when we thought about our theme being a living sacrifice, Dr. Cheryl Price is truly a living sacrifice for the Lord. And we appreciate her coming this far to give us a word from the Lord today. She is an ordained minister and instructor and Christian education workshop developer and presenter. So we're going to have her back here for Sunday school for our teachers' conference. She's earned her doctoral degree and her master's degree and early education childhood degrees, and she comes humbly before us, and it's in your program today. But most of all, I know that she's a child of God and she loves the Lord. So let's welcome Dr. Cheryl Price.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Thank you for this opportunity. It truly was a travel experience. I kept saying, you know, it only takes an hour and a half, maybe 2, depending on weather. I can land at National. I even checked that it takes an hour and 13 minutes as opposed to an hour and 2 minutes from Richmond, so I'm thinking another 10 minutes. I tried again, but she just wasn't hearing me. So I said, Lord, if you want me to go, you'll make this happen. So I didn't check my bag. I didn't really have that much. But on the way back, since it's such a long route to get back for an hour and a half, another 6 hours, I will check that bag this time. But I really thank God for the opportunity to be here, to your pastor, Dr. Parrish, and to this wonderful couple, Denise and Curtis. They've just been such a blessing to me and to all of you, and your wonderful worship leader who kept telling us how nervous she is, but I can't see it. So I just want to thank you. And Denise didn't tell me this was a full-blown program. She made it sound like we would just have a little conversation together. So when we came into the sanctuary, I said, is this where the program is? Because that signals something entirely different to me. She said, oh yes, this is, you know, this is a big time, a big deal. And I said, okay, I prepared for a little more intimate, we get together, talk, I get to walk around and all that kind of stuff. And I said, switch gears, you're in the pulpit, you gotta do something a little different. But they sent me all these topics to talk about. That's why I thought it was a different type of gathering. Her and Curtis sent me a list of items, so I wouldn't necessarily include those like in a sermon or a different kind of presentation, so I prepared it a little differently. And then when we walked in here, I said, I'll make another switch again. So one thing I know, God tells us, you know, we need to be prepared. So thank God, God has prepared me. So I'm going to share for a few moments based on the topics that were sent to me, some of them as well. And if we have a few minutes, if you'd like to ask some questions or have some ideas, that's I'm open to that as well too. And also, because I work for a publishing company, I always ask if you're a writer for curriculum, meaning the lessons that you read in Sunday school, or you write really good essays, we're always looking for writers. So please see me, or you can find my contact information with Ms. Denise as well too. But first I want to just talk a little bit about urban ministries. God has blessed us to be to celebrate almost 50 years. In 2 years we'll be 50 years old under the blessing of Dr. Melvin Banks. When he was 12 years old, he would go to different camps about Sunday school and lessons and so forth. And he said, as he always says, an elderly gentleman came to him and said, our people perish for lack of knowledge. And when he was 12, he said that really stuck with him. And he knew at some point in his life he was going to have to do something different to really reach God's people. So through the years, after receiving his education and so forth, he settled in the Chicago area where he went to Wheaton College, and then eventually he received his doctorate. He worked for a company called Scripps Press. Now, Scripps at the time only published mainly materials, of course, for the dominant culture and not for people of color, not for black people or brown people or other persons. And he was working with them trying to see if they could also publish materials that had people who looked like all of us. And they were like, maybe, but it just didn't work out. And they said, you need to start your own company. And he was thinking about that as well. And so he started out with his family in the basement of his home developing Christianette materials. Urban Ministries came into focus. They were in Chicago and as well as the basement of their house producing the materials, just a small staff of them. And he sold them through the trunks of his car. He went around this whole area here from D.C., Maryland, Virginia, places on the East Coast, and moved further out. But he used his car. He was a true door-to-door salesman. And God really blessed him, and the company has really grown. We reach thousands of churches as we share our materials, also different countries in Africa. So it's truly a blessing to be able to share God's word through print as well as digital now also. And that is becoming also more of a trend that you'll see as well. Talks about a living sacrifice. And when you hear that word, the living sacrifice, it should make you start thinking about yourself. What has God put in me that I need to give back? The answer is all of us. Everything in you belongs to God. Those things that are not of God, well, of course, we need to move out, but we have to work on those things as well. And so when you read living sacrifice, I think of daily. It's something you are to do daily. Sometimes when you're younger and you hear these words, you're like, oh my goodness, why do they have to keep talking about these same old things all the time? When you get older, you're like, here we go again, the same old scripture. And then we hear living sacrifice, and for some reason, we really like to talk about the body part, but we limit what that means. We usually think of body in terms of sacrifice after we kind of have a quick mental image of just a physical look. We forget that the body is more than from the shoulders to the middle of your thighs. Because in our country, we have a way of thinking of body in a very limited way. We have people who will call us at UMI if they think we've left out scriptures that deal with sexual sins. They won't call us about other scriptures, unless it's something they think maybe we should have changed or something. But we will receive letters. We will receive people calling daily, just saying we've just done a terrible thing because we didn't talk about things. But that's not what the main focus of that scripture is, or a lot of other scriptures. But in this country, we have that image. And so we think about things like that. But the body refers to everything. And Paul is also talking about our mind. How do we sacrifice our mind? What are you reading? For those who play video games, what are your video games that you're watching? Are they pleasing unto God? Are you reading, receiving music? What are you doing every day? It deals with daily, it deals with the mind. If you leave out the mind and only are doing but not renewing your mind, meaning are you studying? Are you talking with people who share God's word, who can help you? Because sometimes as Christians, we get stuck on one way of thinking. Well, if my grandmother told me this when I was growing up, that is the only thing that it should happen. Well, the Bible says, no, my grandmother told me that on Sundays you don't wash clothes. Well, that stays in my mind. I renew it all the time. And therefore, on Sundays, I don't wash clothes. Well, Jesus told the Pharisees, why are you acting in certain ways? Why do you keep doing things that aren't promoting God's kingdom? You say you can't give money because you have to take care of your parents. You don't want to take care of them, so you only give your money to the temple. That's what he told them. Gospel of Luke. But he tells them, you're not doing what's pleasing to God. You are to take care of people in your family and not want to be puffed up because they wanted to look good. So they were not renewing their minds in God's word. They were renewing their minds with themselves. And some of us can be very selfish people on how we act. We start out as a baby, and sometimes, of course, babies are selfish. They want to hold on to what they hold on to. But by the time you're 6 or 7, if you don't make changes in your life, you pretty much will repeat the same patterns. If you're an adult and you like having adult temper tantrums in different ways, if I ask you, how did you respond when you were 6, when you were 5? Well, when I couldn't get my way, I would either tell people off or cry, stomp my feet. If you don't change that, you keep that same pattern up. You just camouflage it another way. So you're not renewing and making any changes that are pleasing before God because you like how you do things because you get your way when you cry. You get your way when you stomp your feet. Church people love to tell people off in the name of Jesus. That's the key part of that. So what kind of renewal is that? We do that all the time. And don't take the wrong seat. See, y'all have nice little reserve signs. If a new guest walked in and sat in the wrong seat, oh my goodness, something would happen. It wouldn't be pleasing before God. But we would say, God, it's okay, because we put the reserve sign. Well, maybe they don't read. Well, that's not my fault, God. It's a reserve seat. They're not supposed to sit there. I remember one time, and I'll just say this at Metropolitan, I came into a program. My kids were younger, and I had to get them situated. I was running a little late, but I should have seen the sign before me. There was only one seat right up front, but I think since I'm on staff, it's okay to sit there. That was not a good thing to think. I sat there, and the person came out. I thought she was going to beat me with her cane because she had gone to the bathroom, and I had taken her seat, and I don't know why I thought it was empty, but that was my fault. So I took the seat, she came out, and I realized instantly I needed to move right away. So we kind of keep with the same patterns, but Paul is calling us to renew ourselves differently. What are you really teaching your children in Sunday school? Yes, we produce the lessons, but what else are you showing them in your behavior, in your whole presentation? When you're standing before them, people can read body language. Does your body language say, you know, today I don't really want to be here? Then sometimes you have to say that when you're teaching. Today is not the best day for me. It really is not. I need everyone to stop right now, and we need to pray. Do you ask some of the young people to teach a class? You can teach with them, co-teach with them. But sometimes we don't work on training because we get stuck in one thing. And Paul says to daily offer our bodies. And again, it's just not a physical thing. It's what's on the inside, because what's on the inside of us comes out on the outside of us. If I like something a certain way and I refuse to make a change, it's going to come out. You will know that I don't like certain things, even if I never say a word, because my body language will say, I don't like you. Don't really like what you got on. Don't want to sit there. Why are we doing this? You know, we're good in church for repeating things over and over. And, well, we did it this way for 30 years. This church, I've heard, is over 100 years old, and so I know there are some traditions that are here. It's nothing wrong with tradition, but it's okay to try something new. Because those who started 100 plus years ago have long gone. There are some traditions we keep, but sometimes we can make a change, but that can be hard for us to do. And again, because we're Christians and we don't believe we should move or change, because again, we have Jesus. And Jesus is on my side, not your side. Jesus loves me. And if Jesus loves me, I should say and do what I want. Because Jesus loves me. Remember, I have an education, so Jesus loves me. I drive a nice car. Jesus loves me more than you. Why will the poor be with us always, as Jesus said? Because people are greedy. We don't share enough. We don't do enough to make real change. And so again, what are we renewing in our minds? You have some nice young people here. What are you doing for them and with them? Do you ask them, well, what do you think we should do differently? One of the questions Deacon Denise brought up was, what are some of the trends in Sunday school, in church? One is not to always be inside the church. You have a church base, but you have to go outside. Maybe some of these young men here can lead a small group someplace. You meet at some good, safe place. You know, Starbucks, Applebee's, someplace where you invite people to come. People love to eat, we know that. So you have a little food, but you ask them to lead a Bible study, lead part of the Bible study to attract other people to come in. Everybody may not want to come into God's house in this space, but you know, God is everywhere. So God may be across the street for somebody else or down the street, but all of this takes planning, people, resources. And you need dedicated people, but you have to train people. You have to work on their hearts. Because we can give laws to regulate, but you can't regulate a heart. That's what God is always looking at, our hearts. Why did I give something? Why did I do something? Is so I can get attention? I can be recognized? Or is it because of the love of God through Christ Jesus? So it's a daily renewing. What are you renewing and why? Are you doing it daily? Are you too tired to pray? Are you too tired to read God's word? If you can't read well, use audio. We pretend like everyone can read and understand God's word. That's a lie. That's why there are so many versions of God's word. If you can't understand, we speak King James, but we often study NIV. But if we speak King James, but you don't understand the King James language, black people seem to think that Jesus spoke King James language. He did not speak Old English. I mean, God can speak whatever language God wants, but I'm telling you, there's no record of it in anyone's text that he spoke King James language. It's okay for us to study it and know it, but we have to know it, because words mean something different then than it means today. Some people read the Message Bible, and you got to be careful sometimes of the Message Bible, but it has some good ways to look at things. But what are we renewing? What is our daily renewal? What are we practicing? How are we teaching girls as opposed to teaching boys? Because we treat girls and boys differently. When you're younger, you can get away with little things, but if you don't stop a child by the time they're two or three, by the time they get again six, seven, and older, they will repeat that, and then it's no longer cute. It's cute for some reason for mothers to let boys keep stroking their hair in church. That's not necessary. It really isn't. And the longer your hair, the more, of course, boys like grabbing on. Not that girls don't, but mothers allow their sons to touch their hair. If it's a girl, they're going to pull her away much quicker. But then you have the reverse with fathers and men, how they let little girls get away with things that they dare wouldn't let a little boy get away with. But how do we treat our children in church? Like, this service right now is not really designed for the young people who are sitting here. I would have a totally different approach, but they're here so they can learn. When you get older, you may have a program too, but how will you do it differently? Because again, technology is more of the mold. So what are we training and teaching? People who are older here bring a good tradition, and that's important. So what are we training? What are we teaching? What are living sacrifices? And the Psalm 116 deals with praise. This whole Romans really is about worship. Paul is really talking about, how do you worship? What do you do for God? How are you worshiping God? When you walk into God's house, when you leave God's house, when your family, if somebody can set you up where you can start talking another way, using words that you would not use ordinarily out of the English language because you're upset and you're angry and somebody treated you bad, and then you say, oh, well, you know, God will forgive me. How about practicing where God doesn't have to forgive that part of you? And that's harder to do, so you have to practice. When I'm in this situation, how will I respond? It's a daily renewal. It's not saying you're going to always hit the mark, because we won't. But being a living sacrifice is worship to God. It doesn't mean just worship when I come into this church, to Shiloh. It means outside of the church, I am to worship God. I am to prepare myself. I'm to give everything I have to worship God. Even when I make a mistake, I ask for forgiveness. I ask God to show me a new way because I am worshiping God. When was the last time you intentionally worshiped God other than outside of here? Psalm 116 says that the writer, they don't know who it is, but says, I will give thanksgiving to God. That in front of people, I will thank God. And that's what the psalmist does. In front of people, the psalmist says, thank you, God. The psalmist was about to die. We don't know whether the psalmist was sick. Somebody was chasing him. But we know he gave thanks to God. How many times do you give thanks to God? How many times does it really come from your heart where you say, thank you, Jesus? Thank you for giving me an opportunity to live. Thank you for giving me these children. Thank you for allowing me to share your word with others. But are we prepared to tell others about Jesus? Are we afraid to say thank you? Turn to somebody now and tell them one thing you're thankful for to God. Everybody. If you can't speak, you can do sign language. Young and old. You can write it out. You can draw a picture. Amen. All right, I said one thing. We're having conversations now. All right. Adults don't listen as well as children. Amen. But when you thank God, it ought to feel good. Sometimes when we're feeling kind of down, we need to work ourselves up. Think about Jesus. Just call on the name of Jesus. When you're feeling down and out, say Jesus. It helps to renew your body, to renew your spirit, to renew your mind. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody thankful for Jesus today? Aren't you glad God came into your life today? Amen. We thank Jesus for each and every day. And I want to charge those who teach, those who plan for Christian education, do something different than what you do for all the young people here today. From the babies to the ones who are already teens, plan something different, but plan with them. Don't sit in a room and say, I think they need, or this is what we ought to do. If there are some young mothers, young fathers around who are not sure, who live in a community, who don't always come to church, plan some time with them. Ask them, what do you need? We tend to go and plan and then expect people to come. But we don't tap into their need because we don't ask. Or we ignore what we know is right in front of us. So what do they need that you can offer? And if you can't offer it, partner with other people. Everything doesn't have to resonate in Shiloh. from shallow. Remember, God's made a major big world. Amen. What's going to happen to the people in churches in South and North Carolina? Are you preparing for that? You can pray, of course. We need to. But what's your plan of action? God's word is about action. Love is a word that's an action word. People can talk yin yang and say, I love you all day long, but do they back it up with their actions? It's both. God looks at our heart. Because if we go by our feelings, that's what all this Romans 12 is about. If we say, oh, I just don't feel like coming today. Oh, I'm too nervous. Oh, the kids are bothering me. If we let children stay in, I don't want to do. How many kids don't want to do stuff? Plenty of them. But if you let them stay there, they'll get, again, stuck in a rut. But they're not alone, because adults are the same way. I don't feel like helping today. I don't feel like it. Sometimes you have legitimate answers, but sometimes you have to go beyond that. Or if you're just a doer, Paul is saying it's not just because you do. It has to be because of God, because of your love for Christ. It has to be on the inside. Again, it's our heart. God looks at our hearts. Our hearts and our minds. What are we renewing? Why are we renewing it? And how often are we renewing it? But then how is that put into action? Because it's about God's mercy, about our worship, because Romans 1 through 11 deals with God's mercy. How God forgives us for our sins, God gives us grace. And with all of that, as we teach and learn with our children about saying thanksgiving and giving thanks to God. In sign language, this is thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Because sometimes we don't thank each other enough. And so thank people. Thank God. Remember God's mercy. Practice daily. Do something different with the young people. Commit to doing something different with everyone in the church from a Christian education standpoint. Don't have Sunday school usual. Partner with another church. It's okay that other people are teaching and sharing God's word and you come together. It all takes planning, people, resources, prayer, and more. But you can do it. If you stood for over 100 years, surely a couple of weeks of planning and making something happen, you can do it. So that's no excuse. Remember, it's all about Jesus, not about us. All about Jesus, not about us. It's all about who?
Jesus.
And not about us. It's through us that we share God's word. We lift up the Lord on high. We say thanksgiving. We renew our minds. We renew our hearts. But we have to work and try something different. Be a blessing to others because God has blessed you. Love others. God has loved you. Again, make a commitment to do something different for Christian education. To share God's word beyond here. And again, you have some young people here who are willing to share and learn. Don't push them to the side. Get them involved in different ways. Ask them, even if they say, I don't know. They love their phones. They probably love music. Start with where they are as you and with God's word.
Amen.
They can tell you. The young man who read the scripture, he's very color coordinated. That lets me know he likes to look good a certain way, which is a good thing for him, but it's a good thing for you because he has a sense of presence about him. Start there. You got some young ladies sitting there, some cute little children there, the nice young lady who's been taking care of the little ones sitting with her, another young man, the young lady who's touching the little boy's head, the little baby sitting back there. Y'all got to start.
Amen.
Helping them learn how to renew their minds, renew their bodies, where they're healthy, eating good food. That means y'all got to eat good food too, though, now. And remember to thank the Lord. Again, if you love the Lord, you want to thank the Lord. If you love the Lord, thank the Lord.
Amen.
If you love the Lord, thank the Lord. So take a moment and let's all thank the Lord. Amen. God bless you.
We'd like to thank Dr. Price for that wonderful message. Thank you for that challenge to all of us to be a living sacrifice. Amen. What can we do differently on a daily basis? How to give thanks to God for all that he does for us and to always keep that in mind. So we'll take that challenge and see what we can do differently going forward. At this time, we'll have a musical selection from our praise team, followed by the recognition of our Sunday school ministry students and staff, followed by the remarks from Ms. Verlene Harley and from Reverend Dr. Anthony Parrish, Senior, our pastor.
Thank you. name of the Lord. We thank Dr. Cheryl Price again for that awesome message. And Dr. Price, we heard your challenge. And so when Curtis and I try to get the teachers and the students to do different things, I'll just say, Dr. Price suggested that we do this. So we'll have a listening ear. Thank you so much. We know that it's late. Our service has gone over. But we're happy. We're happy what God did here today, and we're happy about the presence of all of you here. And for the sake of time, we will not have the presentations of each of the classes individually to come up and receive certificates, nor the gifts that we have for you. So we will have those in the education building, and we may do that after the morning service, Pastor, because of the time. We also have a repass there to get a little something, but Pastor, I don't know if we're out of time, but that you'll give us that guide during your remarks. But one thing we would like to do is acknowledge our teachers and our students, and we would just like to call their names. You don't have to come forward. We have certificates and we have gifts for each of you, students and teachers, but we want everyone here to know who you are and what you do for the Lord. So I would like to first call the pre-K to second grade teachers. Sister Wanda James, please stand. Deacon Anna Griffin, Deacon Barbara Green, and Deacon Sister Deborah Miller. And we would also like the students to stand if they're here with us. Okay. Next, the elementary school grades 3 through 5, Sister Renee LeMay, Trustee Michael Lewis, and Sister Rhonda Lewis. And their students, please stand. The middle school grades 6 through 8, Deacon Jeanette Ellis, Deacon Jerry Swan. I know she's said, no, she's not. She's taught many years with us and still this year. And of course, Curtis and I teach that class as well. Would the middle school students please stand? High school, grades 9 through 11, Deacon Stephen Griffin and Deacon Barbara Bryan. Will you please stand? And students, would you please stand? All right. Adult class 1, we call it, but it's the transitions class, grades 12th grade through college, Deacon Kevin Barnes. He's standing. Wave your hand. Minister Jonique Waiters and Minister Devin Waiters. Would you please stand? And the transition students. Adult class 2, we call it only because we have so many adult classes, is Deacon Nathaniel Harley, Sister Fernanda Kane, Brother Herman Johnson, and Deacon Lazaria Richardson can't be with us today, but we want to make sure we acknowledge her and continue to keep her in our prayers. Thank you.
Adult class 3, Minister Donald Bryant, Deacon Raymond Byrd, Minister Catherine Smith, and Minister Nathaniel Hayes. We'll ask those teachers and their students to stand, please. Adult class 4, which is Iron Sharpens Iron, Pastor Anthony Parrish, Deacon Eloise Chambers, Deacon Norman Freeman, and their students, please stand, please. Adult class 5, Tenants of Faith, which is Deacon Wilbur Brown, Minister Portia Sales, and their students, please stand. Okay, a news reporter, Sister Verlene Hall. We can always depend on Verlene to make sure all of our minutes are distributed and published, okay? All right. Information technology, Sister Amelia Zaremba, please stand. She takes her, she makes sure all our information is in the website, so she's acknowledging the recognition back there. Okay. Our snack program was led by Sister Pamela Lamar, Deacon Murray Tyson, Sister Delphine Gray, Sister Megan Gray. We can always depend on them for that food. I know Pam gets up in the wee hours of the morning to make sure that food is prepared, and we always enjoy the delicious food that she's prepared.
Amen.
So, amen. Yeah. Okay. All right. Our publication ministry, Sister Carolyn Gibson, Sister Angela Coleman, and Sister Marquesa Jai. Thank them. We can always depend on the publication ministry, not just for the Sunday School, but also for other CM projects, Baccalaureate, and the revivals. Anytime we need anything published, we always depend on them to get it done timely and accurately. So, and the whole team rotates duties from quarter to quarter, and Sister Carolyn Gibson happens to be on duty this quarter, so we want to thank her for doing an outstanding job of publishing these programs.
Yes,
so.
Thank you, Carolyn.
Okay. Deacon George Miller, he provides support to Deacon Brown in the Tenets of Faith class, so ask Deacon George Miller to stand, be recognized. Amen. Okay, that's all of our Sunday School ministry staff. Let's have a round of applause to recognize all of our staff. At this time, we have remarks by Sister Verlene Harley, and they'll be followed by remarks by Pastor Anthony Parrish. And after that, we'll have the Pastor Parrish will issue the invitation to Christian discipleship.
I just want to say briefly, we thank you for being here and in attendance to support our Sunday School ministry. I just love Sunday School, and that's where we come together to teach and learn so much and discuss and understand God's word and go out and live what we are being taught and what thus says the Lord. In the absence of our chair, Lazaya Richardson, and the Christian Education Ministry, I have to say like Goma Powell, thank you, thank you, thank you, and have a good day.
We bless God for all of his many wonderful blessings. We give him the glory, the honor, as well as the praise. We do want to take this moment right now to thank Dr. Price for such an outstanding presentation. We want to thank our superintendents, Brother and Sister Milner, for leading and putting all of this together for our Sunday School annual day. Our worship leader and our mistress of ceremony, Sister Jai, we thank her for the wonderful job she has done. And we bless God for the presence of all of you here today also. We're here to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. Dr. Price was asked to speak to us, and I know they introduced her as our speaker, but it's difficult for one who is called to preach to just speak. So we thank God that she stayed true nature. She preached. Amen. Amen. And she came out of Metropolitan Baptist Church. She has no choice but to preach. That's where she was bred, and knowing that from that area, from that church, they bear some of the greatest preachers within this community. And we thank her for her presence here today at Shiloh. My task not only is to make remarks, we thank our Christian Education Ministry, particularly our Sunday School worship experiences that we have. We trust that you not only show up with us on our annual day, but we're here each Sunday morning for worship through our Sunday school study. You're welcome. Come and be a part of our Sunday school worship experience here at Shiloh. We're going to ask that we might stand at this moment in order that we might extend an invitation to Christian discipleship. I realize that some may feel that because this was an annual day, some said program, but when the Lord is involved, it is a worship experience. And this worship experience, the Word of God has come forth, and once the Word of God is preached, it is our requirement, our responsibility to extend to all within the sound of our voice an invitation to Christian discipleship. The Bible reminds us that if one would just at the same time call upon the name of the Lord, thou shalt be saved. If you would just confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So this is your opportunity, after allowing the power of the Holy Spirit to touch the depths of your heart, you're able to yield and he'll come in to you. And once he comes in, things begin to change. So if you're here, you've allowed the Holy Spirit to come in your heart, and now you would like to publicly proclaim it, we ask that you step out in the aisle. And once you step out in the aisle, come this way. Officers will be standing here to receive you, and they will share the salvation story with you. Is there one? Is there one? If there's one, will you come? Will you come? Will you come? Amen. Amen. We're going to dismiss from our Sunday school worship, and we're going to prepare for our regular Sunday morning fellowship. And during this dismissal prayer, we're going to bless the repast, which is about to take place. Those who wish to leave us to go next door to the education building for our repast, you're able to do so. Our service will begin here within the next 10 minutes. Amen? So let us bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time of fellowship. We thank you for the joy of worship. We thank you for our honored guests who have come and broke for us the bread of life. We trust that all that has been done is one thing that has been pleasing in thy sight. We pray as we prepare to go from this fellowship and prepare for our next worship experience, that in the interim that you will bless the repast that has been prepared and all of the things that we shall receive in order that we might consume, that you will anoint it, allow it to be nourishment for each of our bodies. So we thank you in advance for all you're about to do throughout the rest of this day, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. We thank you for, amen. And now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.
Amen.